This is the National Public Broadcast of Imam W.B. Muhammad, American Society of Muslims leader.
This knowledge only came after Prophet Abraham, Ibrahim in Quranic Arabic, only after Prophet Abraham. He's the one whose story is told in the Quran as a thinker, a free thinker, who was trying to come to the conclusion, what is God? Who is really God, or what is really God? The story goes like this. It says that he was sitting once and he saw the heavens at night. He must have been sitting, and he saw a bright star in the heavens that appeared to be the brightest of them all. And he said, that must be God. That must be God. My God, he said. But as he continued to watch, daylight came and the stars disappeared. And he said, my God is not one to vanish. Then he continued to watch and he saw the sun rising on the horizon. And he said, oh, how splendid it is, and how bright. He said, this must be my God. But he didn't jump to conclusions. Now, this story sounds kind of silly, maybe, to some, or to some, not to the real thinkers, but to some, oh, that's silly stuff. But this language is really revealing to us the nature of the scientific mind. The scientific mind, even though it's convinced of a thing, it does not jump to a conclusion. It will continue to watch that thing and study that thing and see if it turns out not to be what it thinks it is. So he didn't jump to a conclusion, although he was amazed and thought maybe that was God, but he didn't conclude. He had to observe it further. That's the nature of scientific mind, scientific thinking, scientific mind. So it says that when the sun rose, he said those wonderful things about the sun, and he said, that must be my God. But he didn't go away, he still sat. And he saw the sun itself start to decline, going down in the west. And when it declined and was gone, he said, my God is not one to set. This is what he said. So the God he was looking for was the God that Allah says to us in the Quran, that he says, he is the eternal. He does not slumber. He does not sleep. No change comes over him. He was looking for that God that's described very plainly in the Quran and also in the Bible. If you recall or can recognize it. Yes, the God that never changes, the God that is not affected by anything. When he says, my God does not set, he meant my God does not sleep. Because many of the people in the world had the idea that even God had to go to sleep, take a rest. So when he said, my God is not one to set, he meant exactly what I said to you, my God does not sleep. My God is not overcome by anything in matter or in creation. My God is not dependent upon anything in creation. As is said to us in the Quran, he feeds, but he himself is not fed. He feeds, but he himself is not fed. That's the God. Okay, so this is the God of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. God the Creator. God the Creator. The Creator and Keeper of everything. And we have in the Quran another saying. I'm building foundation for what I'm going to say. I like to lay the foundation first. We have a disbelief in the Quran. It says, the worst form of oppression is false worship, shirk, believing that something is God that is not God, is the worst form of oppression. Now, understand that we have oppression of the spirit, and that's the worst kind of oppression. But where does it begin? It begins with oppression of the mind. And that work bears on the spirit until the spirit becomes very oppressed. It begins, everything begins for us as trouble for our mind. Life from our mother's womb begins for us with the opening of our mind. That's when life starts for us. And all other troubles that reach us begin first in our mind, except for genetic diseases or something, or trouble in our physiology, or in our biology, or in our physical body. But as for the mind and the morality and your spirituality, etc., troubles begin in your mind. And the heart works with the mind. Your heart works with your mind. Your heart is just a symbol representing your good intent. Your good intent. If good intentions don't stay with the activity of the mind will put the whole life in hell. This is Islam, and this is Christianity if you understand it. And this is Judaism if you understand it. Yes. All right. So what I'm getting at, what I'm coming to, when we worship God in sincerity and stay with His guidance, whether we are Jews, Christians, or Muslims, we're safe. We're safe. But sometimes something happens. It's not all the time something that we did that causes us to lose the right connection with God and with reality. We already gave an example of that. Abel had his blood spilled upon the dry ground by his brother, who was jealous of him before God. He was jealous of Abel before his God. He didn't see himself as being as the love by God, his brother, as his brother was, Cain, that is. He didn't see himself as the love before God as his brother. It made him jealous. So he sought to disgrace, to discredit his brother. And he tricked him and spilled his blood off upon the ground. But you know what this story tells us also? That Abel had neglected something. If he had not neglected anything, his brother would not have been able to catch him on alert. He would have been on the alert, but he was not. Now, we know when we look at the religious world, we see mostly a community that believes trouble is in the business world. The sanctuary and safety is with the religion. The danger, etc., is in the business world. The dollar is a wicked dollar. Interest in business can be sin, etc. The thing itself is trouble, but if you use it for God, it's good. Some religions are even more open when it comes to pointing to material things as trouble. They will tell you, if you want to purify your soul, you have to first give up all those things. You have to give up even a life, wanting a woman, wanting a mate, the sex. You have to give up all that so that the spirit can be trained and become so strong or strong enough to live in a world of temptation. In a world of temptation. Let me tell you what I have discovered on my search path of searching for truth. I have discovered that the biggest temptation to take me away from God was not a woman, was not sex, but it was isms. Isms. False isms were the biggest temptations that I ran into, the biggest threat to my spirituality, the biggest threat to my success on the path to the one God was isms. One of them was Marxism. I was a young man and I was disappointed with my life and with what my community had to offer my intelligence, and I even considered studying Marxism, and I did. But I didn't put down the Quran. I studied it while I was studying the Quran too. And I started to believe that Marx, like Freud, Sigmund Freud, was just another fraud. I saw the best in the scriptures. Thank God. And don't think that we have this great, these great gems and great light all to ourselves. No, it's also in the Bible. It's also in the Bible, but covered or shrouded more than it is in the Quran. Not to say these two books are the same, but these two books, that's what the theme, the major theme, they carry the same major theme. And that major theme is this, that God created human beings to get the benefit of the material world that he made before he made us. He made the world for us. Now, you know, no living creature, maybe there's some aliens out there, I haven't met any yet, but maybe they come here, maybe they can argue with me. But as far as I know, as far as I can see, I see the eagles. I see the great lion of the jungle. I see all, and the small ones sometimes, they are mighty, though they are almost invisible. Mighty little creatures, existing as microscopic creatures. I've come to know them all, see them all, at least to know something about most of them, or all of them. And my mind tells me that I have to agree with my own knowledge that God did make humans in the best mold, the best of created molds, the human being. If any of the creatures that he made can say the world was made for them, it's the human family. None of them have the freedom of intellect, the freedom of thought, or mind, to get the benefit out of the world, from the world God made, like human beings can. To me, if you lose this connection for your mind, your spirituality, your passions, your heart, if you lose this connection with the material world out there, you have lost everything. God, when he says he has given man of his mercy, he's not speaking only of revelation. He's speaking also of his gift of matter, the created world, the material world all around us. He's speaking of that also. That's his first mercy. But he also promises a second gift of mercy. And that's the gift that helps us to get the full benefit for our life now and hereafter. Hence God says, seek with the means I've made possible for you the hereafter. And I will insert this, I'll put this, interject this. And he says in another text, another reference from the text, the hereafter is better in quantity and in quality. You hear that? Now let me get back to complete what he says. But don't forget, or don't neglect, latensa is an Arabic, Quranic Arabic, meaning don't forget, but also mean don't neglect. Don't get involved in other things and miss it. All right? Don't forget your share of this material world. God says your share, and he's speaking to us as individuals, not as many. The Arabic grammar indicates plainly that he's talking to us individually. So, I'm a rational seeker myself, very spiritual, as you all have acknowledged. But I'm a rational seeker, and I said to myself when that first dawned on my mind, when it first hit me, you know, caused me to give it more thought, attracted my intellect, I said to myself, God is saying to Wallace Dean Muhammad. In fact, at that time I wasn't called Dean, I was called D, this D. I said, God is saying to Wallace D. Muhammad, don't forget your share of the world. You know what I said? I said, thank you, Allah, I won't. And I've been thinking about it and working for it ever since. So I'm determined to reconcile, to heal this separation. This is a separation that God doesn't want us to have. We're separated from the gift of nature, Mother Nature, separated from the gift of the material world that must support our life here so we will be able to learn and progress in the road to God and qualify for life hereafter. If man hadn't engaged the material world with his life, more importantly with his mind, his intellect, we wouldn't have progress for man in society. Progress for human beings in society is impossible without the intellect and the passions of man engaging the external world we call the material realm or the material reality. Now, how come this wasn't put this plainly in the beginning? I've already told you. Because the leaders were not men of faith, believing in revelation, believing in God. And if a spiritual movement starts and it says we are going for the world that the leaders got already, you probably wouldn't get anywhere before sunset. You all would be slaughtered. So the religious leaders were also guided by God to cover their purpose, to cover their purpose, to conceal their intent until the world of beast and animal in the form of man can be tamed enough to trust ourselves in their midst. That was this game. That was this game. And it worked. And it worked. But now is the time for religion. And I don't need any notes for today. I can put my notes up. Now is the time for religion to come out plainly and open. This is the day of religion. But as scripture says, when that great day comes for the believers, it will also be a dreadful day. So don't let the trouble in the world blind you to the day of the religion. Certainly there's trouble and rumors of wars everywhere, in that scripture, it said it would be. Don't let that blind you. This is also the day of religion. The light is more present today than it ever has been. The truth is more plentiful today than it ever has been. The opportunity for the religious people, the followers of God in the faith communities, to serve the whole world is better today than it ever has been. Understand the time. Don't let the trouble. Satan looks bigger now than he ever looked. You know why? Because Satan is nothing but a disease. And most diseases, when they have reached their last stage, they look bigger than they ever were. In fact, they come in so quietly you don't see them. And when you see them, oh, they're going away. And when you see wickedness everywhere, and you see the sign of the devil in the home, in the church, in the mosque, in the synagogue, you see him everywhere, oh, he's run out. He's run out of hope. And he's fighting desperately to stay in the human being's affair. Okay? He's attacking the church. He's attacking the Catholic Church. He already attacked the Protestant Church of America. He attacks the people of America, the public, the Protestant public, by making us believe that no matter should be respected by the human being's mind unless the human being choose to respect it. Now that's right. God gave us that freedom. We don't have to respect God. We don't have to respect His revealed knowledge. We can leave it all. But nobody is to publish that. Nobody is to tell our young children that. And I remember years ago, must have been 20 years or more ago, longer than that, I read on one of our very popular magazines on the cover, big letters, bigger than any letters I ever saw on the cover of that magazine, God is dead. Now, there are children in preschool that can read God is dead. So look how many young minds were exposed to that big caption, God is dead. So that wasn't inspired or motivated by any innocent person. That came from the Satan himself. I'm not saying the magazine, the publisher, the Satan, no. But Satan was behind it. Satan got in through them and had them put on their magazine in big boxcar letters almost, God is dead. Ever since that magazine came out with that caption, I have seen disrespect for sacred things, for religion and sacred matters, and for parents increase and increase and increase until it has gotten us where we are now, where you make a joke about God. Yes, we use God so commonly, the name God, so commonly. My God. I like to play with people sometimes. Intelligent looking woman. She said, my God. Just carrying on light conversation. She said, my God. I said, did you call me? I do that with getting her to think about something else. Yes. So we are living in the day of religion, and we are also living in the end of time. The end of time for the wicked. In concluding this, I want to go to something God says to make it very clear. God says, who has said to my devoted worshipers, this material world is not for them? Says, this is for them, and for them exclusively in the hereafter. Did you hear that? Yes. And exclusively for them in the hereafter. Did you hear it? Yes. You mean to tell me we're going to have jaguars and all this stuff in the hereafter. I'm just telling you what God said. He said it's going to be exclusively for them in the hereafter. God is saying that the wicked, he says, the gates to the material things are open to all, good and bad. That's what God says. But my special favor is only for my devotees. That keeps your life in good condition. That saves your life for your families and the future. That favor is only given to his devotees, his sincere worshipers. But the use of the material things, the accumulation of wealth, he opens that to everybody, good people and bad people. But look, don't we sometimes wonder, seeing bad people with these jaguars? You can tell I had a hang up with jaguar at one time in my life. don't that bother us sometimes? That we faithful to God and you know, we have chance to get a little more of these material things, but it ain't right. You know, we could have got by and no FBI was looking and no police was around and looked like it was just easy, an easy thing to do and get away with it forever. But we didn't do it because God was looking at us. You know, we could have had some of that too. But our goodness, our innocence keep us living the way we live. Then we look at these bad guys with all these good things, laughing and dancing and having a good time. Don't we sometimes wonder what God's plan is? Well, God makes clear what his plan is. He said, there's going to come a time when he's going to cut them out of these things. And they're going to be only for those who are serving him. So if God's going to cut them out of these things, who's going to be using them? We are. So look, there are two ways to see the afterlife. There's two ways to see hereafter. And I like the English expression, no expression in Quran, hereafter. It just says after, doesn't say hereafter. That's English that says hereafter. Now I'm telling you, I think Satan helped the church out when he gave that language, the hereafter. You know, I guess he said, they so blind. I got them so blind. I'm going to help him out a little bit. I think he influenced whoever that was, came up with that word hereafter. He influenced them to make that combination, hereafter. It's a good one. Hereafter. Nowhere else, here. Later. Now, that is not to say that there is not coming also the spiritual world that will not have any more flesh, or what we call the mortal life, the life of mortals. The life of the mortal will be gone. And God says that, don't you know, don't you believe, can't you see, pardon me, that he who did this the first time, he who created the whole world the first time, is able to do away with it and do it again? He can create again another world? And the promise is that he will create another world when this has gone. Now, according to science, oh, this will be billions of light years to come. But science says that the sun is going to one day not be working in the solar system. It'll be gone. It'll have no use. It'll be no abuse to us. And all of this is going to be lost. That the whole material creation, all that you see out there, material things, including earth, is perishable. That means it's slowly dying, slowly going away. That's what science says. And religion says that when God determines the end of this, say it will vanish suddenly. And the people will die. And the faithful will be awakened. And when they wake up, it might have taken millions and millions of light years. They have been gone. The time of their separation from life might have been millions and millions of light years. So much time, so lengthy, your mind, human mind, can't even see it or calculate it or figure it. But what will they say when they are reawakened in the new creation that God will have? They will say, it seems like there was only a morning and a night, and we woke up. It'll be just that fast. It will be just that fast. Because when you sleep, you're not keeping time. When you're dead, you're further away from the power or the ability to keep time than when you sleep. And the time will be just like that. And you'll be in a new creation. This rational seeker believes in both promises of God.
For more on the ministry of Imam W.D. Muhammad, call or write Ministry of W.D. Muhammad, 1-708-798-6750. All right, Ministry of Imam W.D. Muhammad, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributors. And thanks for listening.